Are you looking for a money reset? With the new year upon us, the Jill on Money podcast is here to help you take control of your financial life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Ray, did the Steelers ever get close with Malik Willis? Did they ever kick the tires there? Were they interested in him?
Not to my knowledge, no, guys. I don't even know that they even consider that in the least. I don't think that was ever in their plans.
Well, how about this Zoom call report then with Kyler Murray? 3 to 5 quarterback needy teams talked to him last night and this morning. Do we think the Steelers were one of those teams, Ray?
Pony, I haven't heard that, but listen, if they get surprised and Aaron Rodgers does retire, then they would have to find somebody. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're doing their due diligence on a guy like Murray, but I did not hear that, so I cannot speak to that. Is it a report or is it a rumor?
No, that was Pelissero who said that, but he didn't say which teams. He didn't say which teams were going to be part of that.
Yeah.
Ray, why do you think that they wouldn't at least be interested in guys in either case? Willis, it's obviously a very small sample size. Murray might be just looked at as damaged goods, but both of them younger, still very mobile, still athletic. Right. Why not be interested at all in those guys, but seemingly be very interested in Aaron Rodgers, who gave you more or less a full season to show what he could and, more importantly, couldn't do last year?
Well, you guys will remember, I think it was before the combine or right around the combine, there was some speculation out there in NFL circles that Malik Willis would get $30 million a year. Now, he didn't get that.
Nope.
But the Steelers just balked. 1 year ago, they just balked at giving Justin Fields 2 for $40 million. So they weren't going to be, you know, in the market for a quarterback that they didn't know at that price. Now, Kyler Murray, like on the Russell Wilson deal, obviously makes more financial sense. Like I said, if they are stuck and they get left at the altar, that would be a fallback option. But I don't know how long Kyler Murray is going to wait. You know, I presume he's going to try to get this over ASAP, and I still don't know that the Steelers or Rodgers, more specifically, has a timeline in mind.
I got one more quarterback one. You had the national reporters saying at the offset of free agency that if Rodgers were to decline the Steelers and say, no, I don't want to play, the belief among the national insiders was that Kirk Cousins would become option A for the Steelers. Are you buying that, Ray?
Well, didn't Mike McCarthy say mobility is important at his opening news conference?
Yes.
Yeah. I understand Aaron isn't mobile, but Aaron at this stage of his career is still more mobile than Kirk Cousins. So
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that is listen, if they are absolutely stuck and he's the only guy out there, obviously, yeah, if you can get him on the cheap. He never plays on the cheap, though.
But right.
Maybe at this stage of his career, he'd be happy to come in and play for $10 or $15 million if they are stuck, but I don't think that's the first option.
Ray, do you think that anybody in that organization already like knows but is not saying and just quietly confident, almost assured in the idea that Aaron Rodgers is coming here?
Yeah, it seems that way, guys. I just don't think they would have been unprepared, you know, going into this, not knowing, I shouldn't say knowing, but not having a good indication of what's likely to happen. So my belief is that Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback in 2026. I would be surprised if he's not, but listen, until he comes out and says it, he's a different kind of guy. So I don't think you can believe anything until he signs on the dotted line.
Hathorn told us last week he thinks one of the issues or sticking points might be money, that he might not want to play for $13 million again. What's your take on that theory, Ray?
I mean, what could he want? Like, if he wants $17 or $18 million, I mean, the salary cap went up, so I'm sure the Steelers could do that. Like, even with paying Pittman and Jamel Dean, they still have money that they could allocate to him. And listen, the way he played, if he wants like a small raise, I think they'd be willing to do that. Now, do they want to go up to like 22 or 25 million? I don't think so, but I don't imagine that Aaron would want that either, because as he said last year, money was not an issue for him. He just wanted to have fun and end his career on the right note. Now he's coming back. I assume it's, you know, kind of the same equation for him.
Ray, what do you think is the best thing the Steelers have done so far in free agency? What do you like the most?
For me, it's got to be Pittman. It's been a weakness for them for years now. And I wrote something earlier in the week, just how they haven't drafted receivers like they once used to. And they have been forced now to make trades in back-to-back years. And listen, last year they gave up a second-round pick. This one, you know, they're basically getting him for free compensation-wise. So I like the move. I think, you know, he might not be as explosive as he once was, you know, when he was on his rookie contract, but he's still a pro. He's going to make contested catches over the middle. He's going to be a good possession receiver. And listen, guys, if 2 years from now he is a really good number three receiver and you draft a guy in the first round this year who ascends to a number one or a number two, that's great news. Like 2 or 3 years from now, $20 million a year for a number three receiver won't be a bad price.
Ray, do you think they sign another wide receiver in free agency?
No, I think it'll probably be the draft. You know, they might sign somebody to a vet minimum contract, you know, like a Scotty Miller type of a signing. I wouldn't rule out Calvin Austin coming back, you know, obviously for probably less than $5 million. I think Calvin was hoping for a little bit more. He hasn't got it yet. But, yeah, I think if they want to bring back somebody like that to be like a, you know, in contention for a 4, 5, 6 spot, you know, that might happen. But I think they're going to go and draft one or two receivers and probably do it pretty early on Thursday or Friday.
Ray, is it too early for me to say that Caleb Johnson already might be a bust? Given what they just did, obviously, with Dowdle coming in here.
Yeah. Listen, I agree with you. And I'm not saying he's a bust. And, you know, what I've been telling people is they've been pretty fortunate with Najee Harry and Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell last year, injury-wise. Like, you know, it's been a good run for them with their running backs not having major injuries. And it doesn't always turn out that way. So, you know, Caleb Johnson might get an opportunity next season to show what he has, but it's only going to be if Dowdle or Jaylen Warren, you know, is lost for a significant amount of time. So, you know, he's going to have to work while he waits. You know, a lot of young players have to do that. You know, most third round picks don't have to do that, but he didn't have a good rookie year. You know, I think Omar spoke to that, and I think they're looking for him to improve. And until he improves, they're not going to hand him a backup job or even a number three job until he does.
Ray, what happened with this former Mike McCarthy offensive lineman from the Cowboys? Jordan Schultz, who's very dialed in. He's a guy that has paid for scoops in the past, allegedly. He gets news that the Steelers are signing Brock Hoffman. And a lot of people that do your job say this makes total sense. This is a move that seemed like it was very probable or even likely to happen. Tweet gets deleted. There's been zero reporting on it since. Are they signing this guy or not?
I haven't heard that, guys, but it does make sense. I mean, they need a guard after Isaac Seumalo left. And I think sometimes, you know, with these national reporters, there's a lot of – it's not phone calls with these reporters. It's texts. And sometimes things can kind of get lost, and you'll see these guys correcting themselves sometimes when they do get something wrong. It is out of the ordinary to get something wrong and to delete it. I will say that. But, yeah, they're going to have to sign somebody, even if they really like Spencer Anderson, guys. They're going to have to get some competition in here for him, whether it's a veteran like the guy from the Cowboys or, you know, probably a second, third, fourth round pick in the upcoming draft. Some people are speculating guard might be in play now in the first round, and you could never close the door on that, but I still think it's probably a day two or, you know, early day three pick after losing Samwell.
Ray, if they take a guard, let's not say second, let's say it's in that third or fourth round range, do you think they would completely out of hand just dismiss the possibility that that guy could win the starting job given what McCormick did as a rookie?
Yeah, I mean, I forget the exact circumstance, but wasn't there an injury that Mason
there was. He jumped in, jumped in and never left, basically.
But yeah, but I mean, that's what a pro does. Now, the only difference is Mason came in at 24 years old. So he was basically a pro. Like he knew how to prepare. He was very mature for his age. So it would depend on that. You know, if it's a 21-year-old, guy, redshirt sophomore, I don't know. But, yeah, if he's 22, 23, 24 years old, I think he would have a better shot of doing that for sure.
Ray Fittipaldo, is it true you're going to dinner with Art Rooney tonight? Is that accurate? We heard some Rooney reporting about you. What's going on there?
There's some Rooney reporting, but I will be at the Irish Funds Gala down at Acrisure. So
they let Italians go to that now. That's good. That's progress. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, I'm there as a reporter. I don't know if they would have invited me just out of hand there, but yeah.
We've had multiple people, Ray, ask if they could be your guest, even though you're working tonight. We've had multiple diehard Steelers fans who would love to get into this event.
Does Mrs. Fittipaldo get an invite too, or is this just strictly you?
This is strictly a work gig.
Is Tomlin going to be there?
Mike Tomlin and his wife Kia are going to be there.
Are they going to talk?
We will see. We might have something later on.
Ooh, all right. Thank you, Ray.
Pony's eyebrows just damn near arched off of his face when you said that.
Good stuff, Ray. We'll talk again next week.
Stay tuned.
Per usual, the football team in town did give us something to talk about this morning. Don't worry, they won't take up the entire show. Just part of it. We will move around a little bit. The Penguins fell in Vegas last night. Fortunately, the out-of-town scoreboard was kind to them. One of the Pirates' young pitchers dazzled in a spring training outing last night. We get to all of that. We also have a couple of Steelers that departed yesterday. If you're watching on YouTube or on our X page at 93.7 The Fan, you just saw there Austin Bechtold adjusting the fat head of Joe Starkey. He is out today. Donnie Football with you until 2 off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Went through a little bit of what we will be getting to. We're going to have the first half of a six-pack now, second half of a six-pack later on, because thank you, we do have a nice little Friday show lined up without Joe, who is back in Buffalo this weekend. The Steelers made some waves yesterday. A certain quarterback made some waves yesterday that we will get to. We have the high school head coach of the Steelers' newest acquisition joining us in 25 minutes. As always, Ray Fittipaldo joins at 11. Noah Hiles will join at noon. Jesse Marshall hops on at 1 o'clock to talk a little Penguins after their loss in Vegas last night. And you can always join in at 412-928-9370. Maybe you're out and about listening on the radio, the Odyssey app, or as already mentioned, one of the folks that watches the program on our YouTube or X stream. I love what the Steelers did last night. It was one of the players that I wanted them to bring in. He was one of the players on my free agent wish list that I put out there a couple of weeks ago, which in fact they have now signed 2 of those guys. First, it was Rico Dowdle the other night. And then last night, the Steelers signed Jaquan Brisker to a 1-year deal worth $5.5 million. The former Gateway Gator, the former Penn State Nittany Lion, and the former Chicago Bear is now coming back home to play in the Steel City. And I really don't mind if he plays the same position as somebody like Deshaun Elliott, because that's what it shows on the depth chart, because he's flexible. He can move around. You can do different things with him in the defense, kind of like what they were already doing with the safeties that they did have, Elliott and Jalen Ramsey. We saw Ramsey play multiple positions last season. We have seen Deshaun Elliott be somebody that has moved all over the place on the Steelers' defense, and I think that is one of the reasons why he has so much success in the Steelers defense and why he, at least for me, became a favorite to watch. Brisker can play a little bit of free safety if he wants to. He can play his traditional strong safety. He can play up in the box. You can do different things with a player like this because that's the name of the game in 2026. It's the norm that guys play safety. They can play strong or free. They can play in the slot. It happens pretty often around the rest of the league and not just here. It's not just, hey, the Steelers are trying to play these guys out of position. That's just happening across the other 32 teams as well. One drive, and he had a huge game against the Rams in the divisional round of the playoffs. I think that's where a lot of people fell in love with this possibility. He was a solid player for the Bears in his 4 years there. A couple of seasons with 100-plus tackles. He was somebody that could take the ball away. Again, did a lot of different things in that defense. One specific drive against the Rams in that divisional playoff game, a sack, a tackle for loss, and a pass breakup. That's the type of guy you're getting here. And here's the best part. He's not costing them a lot of money. His projections were way out there. And that had me worried that it would be unrealistic after they had made a couple of moves to their secondary. They signed Jamel Dean on the first day of legal tampering on Monday. They sign former first rounder Darnell Savage as a backup, but still, they did some things that made me think, okay, the Brisker thing might not be happening anymore. The projections that sites like SpotRack had out there for him were for 10 or 11 or even close to $12 million per season. He got one for 5.5. That feels like a steal to me. It feels like they got this guy at a discount. And he brings good football to the Steelers secondary, a group that I am really starting to like, even more so than last season. Because it's not just them adding up football cards of guys who are way past their best days, and we are just hoping and praying that they still have good football in them, i.e. Darius Slay. That one blew up on them. They have a little more money into vets like Jalen Ramsey and Jamel Dean. I understand that, but they also have very little tied to guys that are still on the younger side of the game. Brisker being one of them, Savage being another one, a first-round pick just a few years back. Asante Samuel Jr., the one-year $4 million deal, I thought was a savvy one. Brandon Echols, who really gave them some good snaps last season. Is he somebody that's going to be a star corner? No, but he's somebody else that they had to play probably more than they expected, and it was mostly positive. All of those guys on the younger end. Joey Porter Jr., somebody else, and he is going to get a well-deserved raise at some point down the road. And yes, given the current financials into the game of football, the salary cap going up, do not be alarmed if Joey Porter Jr. gets himself $20 or even $25 million per season, because that's what the price is going to be. And they don't have to be done addressing the secondary right now either. They might be done in free agency. They might be done in that part when it comes to addressing their defensive backfield. But this is a team that has a dozen draft picks. Will they use every single one of them? I'm not sure. That allows them to do some wheeling and dealing late next month with the abundance of selections that they do have, but I would expect corner and or safety to be positions that get addressed at the annual selection meeting.
It just makes sense. That's how you can round out your roster. Speaking of the draft, we do have some exciting news on that front that we will be able to share more in detail eventually. I hope so. We went over that in our monthly staff meeting yesterday that I know you usually miss out on, Austin, because it's right during your show.
Yeah, I'm curious to pick your brain on what this might be. Yeah. I think I know what it is, but...
Most of the draft details seem to be ironed out, so I'm excited about the coverage that we will have for the three-day event on this station. But that's the part of the offseason that you round out the roster and you acquire sometimes pressing needs, but also guys that you just have for depth roles. And we don't have to treat the Steelers secondary anymore like it is a pressing need. If they hadn't done anything, then I would say it was. I would say, okay, this is a borderline first round consideration. And teams still go with the best player available model too, depending on how things break on that first night. But it's a good thing that they have taken care of a very important part of the defense. And they just keep adding good players. And I'm not worried if some of the guys overlap each other, like Elliott and Brisker may do. Just put good players on the field. Some of these guys could be labeled as positionless players, because they are able to adapt to so many different situations. They are flexible. They can be moved around the board wherever the Steelers want them. And they just got another good football player for that group. 412-928-9370. I'll get to a couple of calls here before we get to the second can of the six-pack. Mark in Brentwood. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, first and foremost, man, congratulations on crushing that bachelor party and the upcoming nuptials.
Thank you.
Over the past year, man, just listening to you on the radio, coming into your own, always say, man, you, sky's the limit for you, man, so keep crushing it.
Thanks, Mark.
As for the Steelers, you took the words out of my mouth. The biggest thing, you know, yet to come, all these moves look great, but with all that draft capital and the X factor of Mike Tomlin not running the team, there's so many pieces in place. It's looking so much more promising. And, you know, you took the words out of my mouth, but that draft capital, those 12 picks, gives them so much room to move around. But definitely what they have addressed in the defense and the secondary, it's looking real good, man.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the nice message there at the beginning. And, man, we're going to get more into a couple of drafts that took place in recent years with some of the other things I want to get to here because, man, not exactly the best finish to a career for a certain someone that was in a Pittsburgh sports front office. 412-928-9370 is the number. Marty is on the fan. What's going on, Marty?
Hey, Donnie, how you doing? Yeah, I'm a Penn Stater. Austin, I talk all the time. Jaquan Brisker is a really physical player, Donnie, but he can't cover a chair. Plus, he's always hurt. So I look at him as like a Tyler Matakevich. I think he'll help on special teams. He's like a deep depth piece. I know what you're saying. He seemed to have a really good game against the Rams. He was all over the field. But I can tell you, if you go back and watch the tape, I know you like watching tape, watch the Steeler game when Mason was playing. He didn't play very well. He was beat handily a lot. He just can't cover. That's the reason why he's available for nothing. You basically got a special teams guy here, is what I think.
I feel like that's a little bit harsh. I appreciate the call, Marty. A special teams guy?
It's very harsh. Like, did you watch Brisker in the playoffs?
And I also don't agree with guy that's always hurt. Is he always hurt? There's one of his three seasons in 2024. I don't have it pulled up what injury he had. Yeah, he missed, 12 games. But otherwise, he played every game last season, and he played 15 games his rookie year and his second season. So I don't get the notion that he's always hurt. Is he one of these guys that just gets hurt in the middle of a game and misses the rest of it? Is it one of those stories?
Well, he had a severe concussion in 2024. That's what made him miss significant time.
Okay, so that's what made
time.
him miss a dozen games, but otherwise it's not like he's missing a bunch of games every year. It's not like he has 1 year where he played six games, the next year he played nine, the next year he played four.
I think what Marty was trying to get at there is that he's had three separate concussions, and that's, you know, when you miss 12 games in 2024, that's a significant injury and can be something that hampers you and puts questions out there as to what your long-term future is. And Brisker even had to address, saying he's going to play the same way. He said that in this past June, despite those head injuries.
And I get that.
Why it was a one-year, $5.5 million deal compared to a long-term deal. There's some injury risk.
I get that, but I would also feel worse if he didn't come back and play every game in 2025 and put together another pretty effective season where he again had an he's not a ball hawk type safety. He only has one pick per season, but he gets in on a lot of plays. He had nearly 100 tackles again, couple of quarterback hits, tackle for loss, had a sack. He's a player that you can move around. You got him for $5.5 million. I'm not going to call that guy a special teamer. I doubt that he is going to be somebody that's just out there on special teams. Tyler Matakevich? That is a slap in the face of a comparison. Some of the other moves around the NFL yesterday, as you can crack the second can, Austin, thank you. These affected the Steelers in a couple of ways. A certain quarterback signed elsewhere, and I will get to that, but a couple of Steelers weapons, quote unquote, also found new homes around the NFL. Calvin Austin signed with the Giants, and that news came down around 6 p.m. yesterday. That's something I wasn't too surprised about. It didn't seem like there was much of an effort to keep him around. Nice little player, emphasis on little, but had some nice moments in Pittsburgh. He made his final act the game-winning touchdown catch in the AFC North Championship game in Week 18, and go back and watch that route. It was masterful work from Cal Austin. Also, call me crazy, I think the Giants might be a playoff team in 2026 with John Harbaugh. Austin replaces Wandale Robinson, who is a better player than Austin, but they get Malik Nabers back, top five pick, Jackson Dart, Cam Scataboo. If those guys stay healthy, along with some Harbaugh reunions that have been flooding free agency, Isaiah Likely, one of the big names there. But I saw Kyle Brandt on NFL Network pose that question on social media yesterday, asking which team with a top five pick will make the playoffs next season. My gut says the G-men right now. But that's just as an aside. A departure that did surprise me a little bit was Connor Hayward agreeing to a deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. That happened about an hour after Austin's deal was announced, right around the same time that we found out the Steelers had signed Jaquan Brisker. And for a couple of reasons, this caught me off guard. The Steelers love relatives on the same team. Maybe that was more of a Mike Tomlin thing than anything. And Mike spoke yesterday at a gala at Acrisure Stadium. But Cam Hayward, also one of the longest tenured Steelers in team history. They just reworked his deal to open up more cap space, which was the exact amount used to sign Brisker, almost down to the cent. $5.5 million is what was roughly freed up with Cam's new deal. So I had the assumption that they would just try to keep Connor around because of the Cam factor. I also thought Mike McCarthy, with his offensive mind, may have viewed Connor Hayward as a Swiss Army knife type player. Sometimes that's the way he was used. Pretty effective in the tush push. The occasional grab down the field. The even less occasional touchdown. Nothing crazy. He's not a big loss, and I'm not upset about it. a decent special teamer when you want to talk about those guys. And Miles Killebrew also went elsewhere yesterday. He signed in Tampa Bay to reconvene with Danny Smith. So the Steelers have lost a few guys on their special teams. But I just thought a Connor Hayward cheap re-signing would be something that happened at some point, and it didn't. And I know that I have at least one very close friend out there that is very happy about it. This also puts a cap on the fabled 2022 Steelers draft class. I heard the morning show bring it up this morning. I had the same conversation with them during one of the breaks. The antithesis to the 1974 class, we are not even four full years removed from the 2022 draft, and nobody remains from that class. In fact, as a weird cherry on top, there is one guy still here, and he was not drafted. That was Jaylen Warren. He's the only guy that came out of that draft weekend in 2022 that is still in Pittsburgh. So it made me wonder who was the best player from that class, specifically for their time in Pittsburgh. You had Pickett at 120, Pickens at 252, Leal 384, Austin at 4138, Hayward picked 208 in round six, then Mark Robinson and Chris Oladokun in the seventh round, 16 spots apart, 225 and 241. The guy was a headache, but the answer here is George Pickens in a landslide. I think Calvin Austin and Connor Hayward are probably on the medal stand because they were useful players at one time or another, and given where they were selected, they actually brought pretty good value. But George Pickens had almost 3,000 yards and 12 touchdowns here in three seasons. He had an 1,100-yard season in 2023. He also led the league that year in yards per catch with 18.1. He has since blossomed even more in Dallas, but he was easily the best of that rotten 2022 class. Josh Rountree, who happens to be my wedding officiant next weekend, he had a good post this morning. Of the final 38 picks that Kevin Colbert made, only three are currently on the roster. Austin, do you want to guess who those three guys are? Of Kevin Colbert's final 38 draft picks, only three guys are still on the Steelers roster.
So you'd be going back to the 2021 class, the 2020 class. I'm going to say
you go back even a couple of years before that, because I'll give you this clue.
Alex Highsmith is one.
Alex Highsmith is one.
Okay.
I'll give you
did
this.
Did he draft Joey Porter? No, he would not. Yeah, he would have, right? Would that have been right before? No, that would have been right after the Pickett draft.
No. Porter was Kahn's first draft.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he would not have drafted Porter. So he would have drafted.
But you're on the right track of where a player attended college.
Yeah, Alex Highsmith at Charlotte. So who else went to Charlotte?
No. You brought up Joey Porter.
Oh.
You were on the...
Pat Freiermuth.
Yes. And I'll give you the clue on the third one. This guy barely counts because he left and came back.
Left and came back. Offense or defense?
Offense.
Man, I'm trying to think.
This might be one of the things you're overthinking, and it gets frustrating because you're like, because you're going to be
well,
mad
it definitely
when,
is.
When I tell you. It's Mason Rudolph.
Yeah. Very
only those three guys. So, three out of 38. That is 7%. And if you don't count Rudolph, and I think he barely counts since he did leave and then come back, 5%. Omar Khan and Andy White will have their misses. You got Roman Wilson, Caleb Johnson, but I like their first few drafts a whole lot better than the final few of Kevin Colbert. It's hard not to. But it's okay, guys. You could take a deep breath because I have good news for a lot of you, and that's that Kyler Murray signed with the Vikings yesterday, also just after 6 p.m. Thank you. It was a fear for a lot of Steeler fans that Pittsburgh would go after Murray, who is playing for the vet minimum of $1.3 million since the Cardinals are paying him nearly $37 million. I think he's actually going to do pretty well there, assuming he gets a chance. Kevin O'Connell, you play half of your games indoors, actually more than half. Weapons like Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. This move did two things, however. It took Kyler Murray off the Steelers board, if he was ever even on it, and it took the Vikings off the board for Aaron Rodgers, if he was still considering that, because there has been speculation for the last two seasons that the Vikings could be an option for Rodgers. Last season, they ultimately decided to ride with J.J. McCarthy, and I think it's clear. After his second season, they have some questions there. Their answer, perhaps, is Kyler Murray, not Aaron Rodgers. So the waiting game may continue, because I don't think the Steelers will entertain Kirk Cousins or Joe Flacco. They may entertain Will Howard. I would prefer them to do that over the other options. But I think we're right back where we were last season, and the waiting game with Rodgers will continue if he wants to play and if they do want him.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Just had a friend of the show reach out and say, hey, while yins are down in Bradenton, check out the Wicked Cantina. So we've gone to the website, Tacos, Burgers, Seafood. Jason Mackey's in Bradenton right now. He joins us on the show. The Grand Poobah of all things Pirates on MLB.com and Pirates.com. Is that your correct title, Jason? Grand Poobah of all things Pirates?
It is not.
What's the title?
Pirates Insider.
Pirates Insider.
Pirates Insider.
I don't know. Definitely not Grand Poobah. I'm not the Grand Poobah of anything. Although I might be the Grand Poobah of Bradenton Dining. You guys saying Wicked Cantina, man. I've been there more times than I could count.
Let's go. How far of a trip is that for us? This is not something that interests anybody listening to the show right now, but is very much important to us.
No, there's a place out on the – there's a Wicked Cantina out on the island you guys could go to on Anna Maria. From where we're staying, that's probably 20 minutes, 20 to 40, depending on beach traffic. There's one in Sarasota that's a little further.
Do I also
Nothing
understand
– Wicked Cantina, I'm going to take you guys to better spots than that.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, we're staying in the same place, as is Noah Hiles, as I understand it. Now, I'm putting you big time on the spot before we get into the real Pirate stuff. Jason, we don't have a car, and we've been told it's like a 10-minute drive from the ballpark. Can we steal either your car or Noah's car every morning to do the show?
No.
You can't. I told you he wouldn't let us do it.
And why not? I don't see the problem.
Why would I let you steal my car at 5 in the morning?
So that we can go to the ballpark, do our radio show, and then you could ride to the ballpark with Noah after that. Your car would be waiting there nicely for you. It would work out for everybody, I think.
I don't think so.
Mm.
I have a rental car.
Was it?
And so I'm the only one driving it.
Looks like you're waking up at 4:30 with us, Mackie, and you're going to host the shows with us. Or we'll
Why
just
don't you get a rental car, Crowley? Have Callis drive you.
No.
Three of you. One should be able to. Well, all right. That's a bad idea. You're right.
Yeah, that'd be the no. All right, Mackie. Roster projection comes out from you and no Connor Griffin. And I'm not surprised. I'm mildly disappointed. Not in you, but if that's the case, talk us through it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually going through a mailbag right now and answering this same question. And I understand it's what Pirates fans want to know. I went into this spring training thinking if Connor Griffin left, zero doubt, if he absolutely forced their hand, they would allow him to be on the roster. He's left a little bit of doubt. It's not a criticism of him. Teams have kind of punched back on him, throwing some breaking stuff out of the zone. He's chased a little bit. It's certainly not to diminish his skills whatsoever, but I think it's left the door open a crack for them to say, look, we don't want to put this kid in a bad situation. He's never played in AAA. He's had 98 plate appearances at AA. Like, let's just take a little bit more time. It's okay. This guy's very important to our future. I think that's the route they go. If they come together on an extension, maybe it changes. If he's absolutely bananas the next week and shows that he's able to punch back to the league, maybe that changes things. But as of right now, I think they go the cautious route.
So you're assuming that Gonzalez will be short, Triolo third. Do you think they'll be interchangeable? You think they'll swap back and forth at any point?
You know, Dorn, I don't. I could be wrong there, but the benefit of playing Triolo is it's a gold glove defender at third base.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to play Gonzalez or Triolo at shortstop. And it's nothing against those two. And yeah, Triolo might be a better defensive shortstop, but like, it's not the greatest defense you're going to have. Like it's just kind of passable there. You want to get Nick Gonzalez some at bats. At least I would. Like, I want to see what this guy can do with some regular playing time. It's not going to come at second base because of Brandon Lau. I'm putting him at shortstop and seeing what he can do. And I'm going to stick with Jared Triolo playing gold glove caliber defense at third base.
Jason Mackey joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. How much will Mangum play? Because I love the cut of that guy's jib. He did an interview with Starkey on Friday. He seems like he's just a ball player and a winner and an unselfish team guy. He's telling stories about how he sacrificed his own scholarship so they get better players for Mississippi State because they wanted to win the national championship while he was there. And he steals bags and he plays good defense and he's a contact guy. I feel like he's going to play a lot and they're going to be creative in that. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I agree with all of that. I also agree with Jake Mangum being a tremendous teammate, guy, personality, all that. Like, very, very high of the list, atop the list of Pirates that I've covered in terms of, like, you know, personality and likability. They need to get him in there. They need to find him an opportunity to play. And I think this is the strategy they'll probably employ. This makes a lot of sense. Marcell Ozuna's getting up there a little bit. Having him get a day off once a week won't be the worst thing in the world. Maybe you get Cruz off his feet. You know, if you have a lefty in there, you want to keep O'Hearn's bat in. He's hit lefties very well. Spencer Horwitz is not. That moves O'Hearn to first, gets Mangum in the lineup against lefties. So, I mean, there's creative ways to do it. And I think you need to find a way to get him three or four, you know, maybe three starts a week. And then as a late inning defensive replacement for any of your three outfielders, if you have a lead, he should be making that appearance if he's not already in the game. So, I mean, I think you'll see him play four or five times a week, maybe with three or four starts in there. And I think it's going to be good for the Pirates. I love his style too.
Jason, we had Greg Brown on a little bit ago, and he shared a sentiment that he feels that this will be a breakout year for O'Neill Cruz. Do you share the same feeling that this could be the year that O'Neill Cruz breaks out?
I do, man. I do. He's been 100% different, 180 degrees, however you want to say it. Just the focus that he's operating with. And I mean, you guys, me, Brownie, nobody's ever had any issues with O'Neill Cruz's physical abilities. It's off the charts. It's all about focus, consistency, and he's been the same guy since he's got down there. I'm sure he's the same guy at the World Baseball Classic. The work ethic this offseason, the drive, the sort of finally putting it all together. I know it's a little bit later than anybody would want. I'm with Brownie, man. I think this is going to be a really big year for him.
Jason, we saw last night Bubba Chandler look damn good, and he had some control issues earlier and throughout the spring. Not so much yesterday. He was painting the fastball. He struck someone out looking with the breaking ball. Is the question just how many innings this guy can pitch this year? Like, that's kind of my overall question with a lot of these young guys in the rotation, but he seemed to have figured out whatever had been ailing him yesterday.
And how about how he did it too? I love that. Talking to Henry Davis afterwards, Henry said he was literally going to call as many he wanted to see how many fastballs he could call in a row before somebody noticed. And it worked. It was great. Started the game with 18 of them. Adam, if this is the version of Bubba Chandler they're going to get, then yes. The idea is how many innings is he's going to be allowed to throw. You know, and he might jump to 140, 150 in that range somewhere, maybe 160. That's probably aggressive. It's why they're going to have to be sort of mindful of rotation depth and secondary pitching, that sort of thing. But, I mean, if he commands the fastball like he did last night, it opens the door for so much stuff. Like, people hit under 100 against his changeup and slider last year. That's how devastating those pitches were. And then you saw what the fastball did last night. Like, he has three unhittable pitches. That's pretty darn good. So, if you throw it over the plate, he had walked 10 over six innings prior to last night, so that's a concern. But if he's around the plate, look out.
Jason, what's the number one spot we got to hit down there, man? Jason Mackey's personal favorite. Tied tables.
Tied tables.
Yep. It's right near us, guys. It's like 10 minutes down the road. There's a dock going out. It'll hit you so different. And there's this, it's a cash only tiki bar where there's always like an hour wait for tide tables because it's so good. But then you just go out on the tiki bar and have, or out on the dock of the tiki bar and have a couple beers and you're basking in the sunshine. It's right on the water. I'm telling you, if you get to one place, make it be that. The vibes are just sky high.
Jason, that sounds like Monday, right? Monday night, you, Doran,
please,
me,
well, I'm
Brownie.
Going I'm going to Fort Myers.
Aren't they playing at one, though?
It's 2 hours away.
We'll go for dinner.
I'm not going to be... I'll meet you there, but I ain't gonna be back till about 7:30. So.
I'll just publish something. I'm sure you got something. I'm sure you got something in the hopper that you can post. Come on now, Maggie.
I have something in the hopper, but they like me to be at the games, so I kind of have to do that.
Okay.
New job. Try and impress the bosses. Oh, I'm Jason Maggie. You gotta impress the bosses. That's fine. By doing work.
Seriously, go there though. Swordfish is also good in Cortez. Pier 22 in downtown Bradenton. You guys will like that. I know you only have a select few dinners. Oak and Stone, it has one of those beer walls where you just go up and tap a card and get like 50 different beers. You'll love that, Crowley. Great pizza and wing spot overlooking the Manatee River.
There you go.
Yeah, so here's what's going to happen. There is no limit to the number of dinners we will have per night.
Right.
I mean, we will hit everything. Okay. We were going to hit everything
during the day.
Crowley's going to come back 300 pounds.
Yep.
That's right. Do they got a gym in the building?
No, they do not.
Okay, good.
Sorry, they have a pool. They have a basketball court. Oh. You can go for a run with me on Tuesday.
Sounds awful. See you, Jason. Thanks for the time.
See you, guys.
See you, Jason. Later on.
He's the man. I know I hijacked that for our own personal benefit, but I don't care.
We're back. Bob Pompiani with Mark Cabali today, and Mark is brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel, the region's premier spirit wear and sports uniform provider. And I also have calls, Mark. We have some people who want to talk to Mark about Steeler issues, and so I asked for him. Let's get him. Oh, it's a joke.
Here is Rick in Pittsburgh to talk to Mark.
Go ahead, Rick. What's up?
Hey, guys, good to talk to you. I think there's a very important thing with Aaron Rodgers. We have to stop seeing him as just an athlete. He is a brand, and by that I mean his value is in his name. We saw that last year. He was coming to Pittsburgh. We knew that. But the merchandising sales and the negotiation with the Rooneys on that percentage was critical, and I think we saw that. How many Rodgers jerseys and things did you see for a future Hall of Famer? That's huge, and that will be a factor this year. The second part is Rodgers aspires to be an announcer, and there's going to be a heck of a bidding war for him when he finally does retire.
Oh, I disagree with that. I don't think he aspires to do anything but disappear.
Oh, I think he'll be an announcer. When you throw the money at him that he would get for a guy that's well-spoken and candid, I think it would be tremendous. And every time you mention his name, it's an advertisement for Aaron Rodgers. So why shouldn't he come out and say, hey, I've signed with the Steelers? He has everybody talking about this every day in all of the different mediums. That all works to his advantage. Aaron Rodgers is a very smart guy. He knows exactly what he's doing.
I'm not disputing that at all. You got to have smart. Thanks, Rick, for the call. He knows what he's doing out there for sure. But, I mean, I don't know. Do you think he'll go into television when he's done? I know he does McAfee.
You're talking about Aaron.
Yeah, but I don't think he would assume I'm going to use my brand to go. He strikes me as someone who's very private.
Yes.
And I don't know.
He said it multiple times. I'm just disappearing. But
Mike Tomlin said it too, and he pretty much did.
And Ben Roethlisberger said that too, and he didn't. So he does seem like a guy that does not like the limelight. He said it before. He doesn't like the spotlight. I don't think that money would be a motivating factor in him if you looked how much he's made over his career, just career earnings, not to mention how many sponsorships he had as a, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. So I don't think money's an issue for him. I do believe he'll just disappear, and I don't think somebody like Tomlin would even show up on TV ever. And I've been well on record to think that I might be the few that thinks Tomlin wouldn't be very good on TV.
I just don't. I think he'd be excellent, but I know he's not going to do it. He's told me over and over and over that he has no intention, and to his words, disappear. And that's pretty much what's happened so far. Although he will reappear tonight at the Ireland Fun Dinner over there,
yes,
which is big for the Rooney family. They do it every year. And he and Michael Keaton, along with Kia Tomlin, will be honored.
So Batman's going to be there.
Batman.
Do you consider him the original Batman?
He's the best Batman.
I like Val Kilmer. I thought he was a good
Batman.
He
is good, but I like Keaton in that role. I do. You don't?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, of course. But that was early Batman, right?
That was early Batman.
That was an early, like, what's his name? Adam West.
No, Adam West, though, that was...
Kapowee, Kaplooey.
Yeah. Who was Robin?
Oh,
like, the first Robin.
Man.
Do you know Austin?
Like, first Robin, I don't.
I mean,
you know, you got to be careful here, Bob. This is why I say this, because last week when I was on the show with you guys, we were talking Three's Company, and all of a sudden I go on my phone, and my algorithm has Three's Company all over the place. It's listening
phone?
To me. Yes. Everything I look at, a reel or a story
Wait
or something.
Minute, are you telling me the phone listens to you even when it's not like,
You tell
on?
Me how all of a sudden how Three's Company clips all of a sudden showed up on my phone. On like,
all right, so if I say MASH right now, right? I love MASH.
The TV show MASH.
TV show.
You'll see, maybe not instantly, but later tonight when you're like flipping around, going through your, you know, West Coast basketball scores,
That's
it's
right.
going to pop up. You're gonna be like, what? I'm telling you, man, it's crazy.
You recently had an interesting tweet that got a lot of traction, and I'm surprised by this. Not that you get a lot of traction, but the tweet that was this part of Pat's show, or how did this all
No, it wasn't. It actually wasn't. But he is looking for somebody to break a world record on the air that's within reason. So I was just come across one that was quite interesting of a world record. The longest urination session of all time was 8.5 minutes. And the best part about this one is Beck the Overner. Best part about this one is, Bob, you said you could beat that.
You could beat that, Bob, 8 minutes.
It's like the tortoise, you know? It takes a while. There's not a big stream if you get over. I don't know.
I can't do anything for eight and a half minutes.
I wouldn't either. I'm just kidding. But I find that hard to believe. How much liquid do you have to, or what, 8.5 minutes
That's
of nonstop?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I mean, maybe back in my younger days, you can get maybe a minute or two after a long night, you know, of the bar action. But I don't know. I'd have to see this. This might just be an old wives' tale or an unsubstantiated
You don't
claim.
Want to see it. You said you want to see it.
I don't want to see it.
I just have to see it. You don't
if
want
you're
to
looking
see
at unbreakable records, that has to be one of if it's a record, right? Eight and a half minutes?
No.
Consecutive.
We talk a lot about streaming programming. We haven't talked too much about streaming that.
Oh, you know, the funny part about that is when you put something out there just on social media, you don't know what it gets 2 million views. It's stunning to me that what people get attracted to.
I think most people just like don't think that's possible, and they're like stunned, and so it's all it takes.
2 million people viewed this tweet about 8.5 minute pee.
It's unique.
Unbelievable.
It's very unique.
You could say that I'm sure Harry Callis losing today with the quiz game probably gets more than, say, a clip you put out of us talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Right? Mark brought up something that I wasn't aware of. He said that
there's a lot of clips that are out there of that that were put out there today, Mark.
The housing situation on Donnie Football's wedding is
out of control.
What is? I don't understand what that is. What did you say? Or
go ahead there. Go ahead, Austin.
Yeah. So, Callis, intern Dom, Sean Myers, and Joel Nelson are all sharing a room at Donnie's wedding.
A suite or a room?
It's a room. And Sean Myers put it on his credit card. Look at Bob. He's disgusted by this.
Well, first of all, you can't fit 4 people in a little. What kind of hotel are we talking about?
There's probably double beds.
Still. All right, then pair them up.
So we were talking about how intern Dom and Callis might be paired up in the same bed.
That won't happen.
Yeah, why not?
That will not happen.
Well, Sean Myers paid for the room.
I thought I always view Sean as a very bright individual. What is he thinking?
Sean is definitely going to say, you know what? Like, if we're sharing beds, he's not sharing one with Callis, and he's not sharing one with Dom. So he's picking Joel Nelson, which means that Callis and Dom have to share a bed together, which means there might be a video of Callis and Dom cuddling in the middle of the night. Can you imagine that, Mark?
What
would be more popular, that video or the video of Bob dancing at the owner's meeting?
I would definitely watch this one. It would be like
get rid
a train
of the
wreck.
Other one already.
Oh, it's saved on here. I got multiple of them.
Get rid of them.
I remember.
Change your phone. Get a new phone and have that one get lost.
I do need a new phone, but I do remember that. It was in Phoenix, where that's right. Where the owners' meeting is this year, and had a live band, and Bob was feeling a little dancey that day.
Well, yeah. Why not? Somebody's
got to
do it. It's too bad I'm not going to be at that wedding because I would be kicking out. My wife and I would be kicking out. I have a previous commitment.
You're lucky.
You're
lucky. Then you would have been on videotape there. You might have been.
There's nothing wrong with dancing.
You might have been featured on this program.
Well, that's
you think Joe Starkey dances?
Reluctantly.
He seems like he would dance like Elaine from Seinfeld.
I think he'll bring a guitar and he may start some kind of song out there. Who knows?
Malzy song?
No, not
is
that.
Is Johnny really going to allow Starkey to sing the Malzy song at his wedding?
No.
He's not allowed to do line dances, right?
No, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm anxious to see.
I didn't get the invite, so I wouldn't know.
Wow.
Wow.
Like how about that? Like Cavalli was not invited to the wedding.
Like I said, I probably wouldn't have went anyways. So.
Why not?
Because I'm too old for that stuff.
You're too old to go to a wedding?
I'm much older than you, and I would go, and I love weddings.
I couldn't even tell you the last wedding I went to.
I used to crash weddings.
Somebody tried to crash my weddings, and I kicked them out.
I do it in a very polite way, though. I always bring a gift, and when I was younger, that's what I used to do. And you know, you see on the marquee on some of these places, congratulations, Mary and Todd. So I would say, I get a card, congratulations, Mary and Todd, $100, go in, and...
What?
Yeah, why not?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
But
how would you find these locations for
the
wedding?
Well, they'll all be local, you know, where back in Hopewell Township.
Now, would people recognize you? They'd be like, Bob Pompiani is crashing our wedding.
Yes, and it was fun that way. But this is when I was just bored and I had nothing better to do. And I said, I'll just, you know, do that.
That'd be like people send their invitation to like Ryan Reynolds and, you know, to all kind of famous actors and stuff like that, Jennifer Aniston, and they actually show up. The Pittsburgh version of that is you don't even invite Bob to your wedding, but he shows up anyway.
I didn't do it a lot. I just did it when I felt like, you know, some people I knew were going to that thing. I haven't.
Now, if we could find somebody out there that actually was crashed by Bob, now that would be interesting.
That'd be a great story.
Now, he could do that now. He's like the mayor, the president, and the governor all at once. He'd just walk into any wedding and they'd welcome him in. Come on, Bob, have a drink.
No, I don't do that now. I used to. That was younger days.
Oh, you could do it now.
You could definitely.
You're welcome at anybody's wedding.
I wouldn't. The crashing is different today than it would have been back then.
Why?
Just because I felt.
You were younger and more ambitious back then.
Yeah, and I just
thought, is he Vince Vaughn from Wedding Crashers? Is that who it was?
Yeah.
There you go.
Join us Wednesday, March 18th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. from the Baseball Card Castle in advance of our special Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon, and this is a big deal. Brian Gulish and his people at Feed the Need do a great job for the food bank. So many people need help. You can help by just coming over, selecting an item, donating, whatever it is. All you have to do is text NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155. All auction proceeds will benefit Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. All right, I want to talk to you about how you appraise the AFC North right now. I know it's an unfinished thing. We have draft going through. There's still going to be some signings. But the early odds are what on these four teams in the AFC North?
You have to go Baltimore 1, right? I would think.
Well, when Crosby happened, I thought I would do that. Now with Hendrickson, and they retain their 2. It depends on what they do with their first-round pick, who they get, how it'll help them as an immediate player.
Well, the way I look at it, I normally just go by the quarterback situation, and Lamar probably still has the highest upside when you compare it to the rest of the roster. I mean, you got to love Burrow, but Burrow's just – hasn't really won a lot other than that year or two, right? Obviously got good offensive weapons. The offensive line still struggles. Their defense struggles. So that's why I push them down a little bit. You still got Derrick Henry, but when's he going to fall off that proverbial cliff, if ever? I mean, he is 31, 32. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many more hits he has left in him.
And what are they going to do? They haven't done anything, have they, in terms of help their defense, I'm specifically
Cincinnati.
Talking. Yeah.
They're too busy paying their quarterback and 2 wide receivers, but they should have money, right? I haven't looked at their salary cap.
They should have money. You're right.
I mean, they need to upgrade the offensive line. They need to upgrade defense. They need to upgrade a lot of things. There's a lot of teams just standing pat right now. But that's another thing. Do you want to go to Cincinnati too? Well, if you're a defensive player, do you want to go there? You better get overpaid, and Cincinnati doesn't overpay many people. So that could be an issue as well. But I think Baltimore won. I would throw Pittsburgh to Cincinnati and obviously Cleveland right now if I was handicapping them.
All right, so you know, we're looking at the Steelers. They brought in a cornerback to complement Joey Porter, a safety. They have a wide receiver. They have a running back. What else do they need to do? And what is your prediction here, Mark, for what is done next in free agency?
I think they need a guard, a veteran guard, a Sam Malu like, who's a little bit more, I wouldn't say reliable or dependable, because Sam Malu didn't miss that much, even though he was injured a lot. Somebody there, you know, a 30-year-old, something like that, would be great to be able to solidify that offensive line. I think you need, obviously, you need to add another receiver or two, but is that free agency wise?
How many
that,
receivers do you think they take in this draft? Because I think even with Pittman, they'll
take
two. I think
they'll add another depth guy in the free agency here.
And then at least one draft pick?
Yeah, I think so. Then you still have Roman Wilson, you still have hopes for. And I guess that's all you really have, right? I guess Skronik had 4 catches last year, so you can't really count on him at all. I think defensive line, you need some depth maybe.
Yeah, I agree with that. Regardless of what they have there, at some point, even though Cam's playing at this very high level, that, you know, he won his battle, I suppose, by getting another extension on this contract. And he deserved it based on where he was ranked. But how long realistically can that happen? So you have to look down the road here.
Yep.
And without him there, they still need a lot of help.
Yeah, and
there.
Benton's going to be a free agent after next year. So if they decide not to, you know, extend him by the start of the season, there's a good chance he's gone next year too. Then so Fatanu, Derek Harmon would be the only guy you'd have at that position right now with a bunch of mid-level guys or unproven guys. So you need depth. I think a lot of this – I think they'll add somebody, like I said, guard. I mean, if they really want to get frisky, they can add a safety, then be able to move Jalen Ramsey around in different spots. Is there maybe a third corner, maybe a slot guy, maybe just a rover type of guy and safety guy. But other than that, I think they just backfill with some depth that they need. Maybe add – I would bring Connor Hayward back. I would. I don't know if they will.
I think he has a role, depending on the price. Yeah.
Well, he's a four-tier special teamer who can play like 4 different positions. Okay, you could say he might not play those positions great, but it's valuable to have a guy that can go to, you know, come off the bench or not even come off the bench, just be on the roster that can play tight end, fullback, H-back, wide receiver, running back. You know, I guess in a pinch he could be the, not the quarterback, but
well,
the
here's the next
Wildcat
question.
Quarterback.
Yeah, but. I mean, there's a role. Again, to me, it would come down to the money. Do they draft a quarterback, even if Rodgers commits?
No.
Even
I think they're committed to next year. I think they're committed to next year.
That doesn't mean you can't draft one this year, though.
Well, if you're like Will Howard so much and you say you're bringing
I understand that.
Austin's buddy Drew Aller, then you're forced to keep those two. Then if Rodgers comes back, then what do you do with Mason? Do you dump him?
Well, his
I wouldn't.
Would be up at that point.
I'm just
know.
Saying, I'm right just, this year, this if, you'd have to
let's
keep
just say
unless
the
you're
scenario
keeping 4 quarterbacks.
This. They have the same first round grade on Mason. There's someone who comes along. They have a first round grade on. It's a different regime in many ways.
The way I look at it is, Art Rooney has made it crystal clear they want to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Aaron Rodgers is out for 3, 4, 5 weeks, I want to still have an opportunity to stick somebody in there who's played like Mason Rudolph. I mean, Will Howard could be that guy, but if you want to ensure being that 10-win playoff type of team, I want Mason Rudolph to be able to fill in over Will Howard at this point right now. Maybe that proves to be different in September, but not right now. So that's why I think that's valuable. I don't think you want to go in with 2 backup quarterbacks with 0 experience. I just think that's a disaster waiting to happen for a team that wants to win.
Mark, always appreciate it. What do you got planned for the rest of the day?
I don't know. Let me think here.
More media appearances?
Nah, hopefully I'm done. I got to do some wrestling stuff. You know, wrestling, big WrestleMania is coming up in a couple weeks.
That's right. It's a busy March over there at PPG Paints Arena. They got the tournament coming here, right? In fact, it's already underway.
SmackDown coming on the 27th of Friday. You got the owners meeting out in Phoenix for 3 or 4 days after that, where we'll actually get to talk to Big Mac, Mike McCarthy, and Omar, and Art. So football. Then what are we looking at here, Bob? 5 weeks for the draft? 6 weeks?
42 days, whatever that is.
Be gone before.
By the way, we're counting down the top 52. We've done this every Wednesday since last April.
Okay.
And we're down to number. Yesterday was number 7. It was Bill Frelick. So okay. We have 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So we have 6 more weeks. But it's a very interesting and tough choice.
You're talking about pro
best,
player.
Best athletes, Western Pennsylvania players who have been drafted into the NFL.
Mm, did you throw Doran Dickerson in there?
He was.
But really?
I'm sure he didn't like where he was placed, but,
well,
you know.
He just happened to be involved in the conversation.
There are so many guys who deserve to be number
you,
one.
You hearing any backlash of saying, how do you leave so-and-so out?
Oh, you hear that, yes. But what are you going to do? There's only 52. There have been how many?
Blaming all Rich Walsh. Say he's the one who picked it.
It was a very interesting conversation about coming up with the last 10 in particular.
Because somebody will be bringing somebody up from the 30s. And
well, we did that too. We took some guys. You know, it just depends on how much success they had.
Well, Broadway Joe, speaking of Brady Bunch.
We had him
on. You know, that's what Joe Starkey was talking about, the Joe Namath on the Brady Bunch. And that clip's come up on my phone at least 7 different times. So I'm
Brady
telling
Bunch?
You. Brady Bunch, Joe All Namath right. clip. I'm telling you. It's listening to
I'm
you.
Sure it is. I don't trust anything.
I'm hanging around Aaron Rodgers too much. Conspiracy theories.
Mark, thank you. As always, right. appreciate we'll it. That's Mark Caboli here on 93.7 The Fan.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast joins us now, as he does every Friday at 8. We left him hanging for a couple of minutes. Chris, good morning, buddy. How you doing today?
Morning, fellas. How we doing?
Pretty good.
I think we're wonderful.
It's a great day. All right, Chris.
It's a great day.
Steelers signed Jaquan Brisker last night, and it's for 1 year, $5.5 million. I think it's a shrewd move by one Omar Khan in an offseason where there's been a flurry of shrewd moves by the Khan man. Your take on Brisker as a Steeler, what his role will be, and what kind of player he is.
Well, first, let's start with the kind of player that he is. Jaquan Brisker is a flexible safety. He played pretty much half and half in the box and free safety for the Bears last year. And you look at the years that he's been able to play and stay healthy, that's the majority of his career. He flexes between positions. I think what Jaquan Brisker is he is the rotational safety that's going to add to this, the mix of how they move guys around, and he's going to be the preferred option of the veterans that they have to play the free safety role, because that's something that he has done more often than, say, Jalen Ramsey or Deshaun Elliott, or even the also newly acquired Darnell Savage. I think that's where Jaquan Brisker is going to play. But I also think that Jaquan Brisker is a placeholder. I think that one thing that Omar Khan has done a really good job of is the classic Kevin Colbert move, is that, hey, we're going to try to get starters at every position around the roster where we had holes, so that way we can go into the draft. We can say, hey, if this position pops up over here that we really think this guy is great, we can go get that position and not be stuck with needing to fill a specific need because we didn't get this position in free agency, which I do think safety will be a priority in the first 3 rounds for the Steelers, to get a young guy who can play in there. Even if he doesn't start right away, he can be a guy that learns and eventually becomes the preferred free safety for this defense.
Now, you did mention this guy's name, but what is the trickle-down effect, and what does this do for Jalen Ramsey? What is it today? He's due a bonus of like with 3-point-something million, possibly, I think, right, Crowley? Something like that?
Yes, it is. Friday, big commitment day. Ramsey due $2 million roster bonus today. Additionally, 3.5 of his base becomes fully guaranteed today.
So, with that being the case, could you see Jalen Ramsey not be a part of this team? But if he is a part of this team, where do you see him fitting in this back end?
Look, that money was real, and I thought that at the start of the offseason, I thought there was a chance that Omar Khan moves on from him in some way to avoid paying that. But every instance that he's gotten a chance to talk about Jalen Ramsey, he has spoken about him glowingly and has made it clear, hey, we're going to keep this guy around. And I don't think that you do it in this way as glowingly as he has and then just turn around and say, nah, we're cutting this guy, unless you're setting up a trade of some sort. So I think Jalen Ramsey sticks around. But here's the cool thing with Jalen Ramsey is that Jalen Ramsey, with his speed right now, you want him more as the slot to strong safety type of safety role, which is also something that Deshaun Elliott does. And so I can see a lot of three safety formations in this upcoming defense that Patrick Graham's going to run. And Jaquan Brisker will just be the preferred free safety option to drop back deep and play that kind of a role. But make no mistake, part of what being safety is in today's NFL is being fluid. You can't just be a free safety or just be a strong safety or just be a slot corner. You have to be able to do all the different things, come up in the box, you know, guard, you know, cover tight ends, cover receivers, play deep center field, play deep half. All those things are part of being safety, and that's where I think Brisker helps them temporarily. But I would not be shocked if the Steelers are in the market for, you know, if they don't get aggressive in the first round with Caleb Downs or Dylan Thienemann, I would not be shocked if they went after like an A.J. Halsey out of LSU in the second round, or Genesis Smith or Bud Clark in the third round, because there are guys who are athletic enough to play multiple safety roles and draft to either start right away or come in and just learn for like a year or two, then and eventually transition into that role.
What's the book on Genesis? Just kidding. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Something about Carter, I make the worst jokes of the day with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like routinely.
Right.
Routinely happens.
Yeah. I just let you go.
Yeah, my bad. Carter, is Patrick Queen good? Is he a good football player?
He's a good football player. The thing is, the Steelers are paying him really, really good money. And so they want more from him. And there's no doubt about that. But here's the other thing about Patrick Queen. He brings, what, 5-6 years of experience in the NFL? And he's 26 years old.
Yeah.
You don't get that combination of experience too often. The other thing that I think that really got in the way of Patrick Queen the last 2 years is he's still learning to be the green dot. When he was in Baltimore, that was Roquan Smith. Roquan Smith was Batman. He got to call the shots, and Patrick Queen could just fly and play. And I think what you've seen is Patrick Queen learning how to call the shots in the defense, you know, get everyone else on point, keep himself on point, and then also be the primary linebacker to make plays. And because of that, I think that the Steelers might look at him as an opportunity to say, hey, you know what? We need a linebacker who is well-versed with the team, with the rest of the players on this defense, can communicate and kind of be that guy for a few years. I wouldn't be shocked if the Steelers found a way to keep him around for another year or two and spread out some of his money a little bit. I also wouldn't be shocked, though, if they did trade him and they said, hey, you know what? We're going to be aggressive, and linebacker becomes a bigger need in this draft class. But to me, Patrick Queen, his youth at 26 years old is an asset, is that if you keep him around, whoever has him for the next 3 years is probably going to have him for the best point of his career, because I do think that he's been growing into this role. So Patrick Queen, good player, but they're paying him really good player money. And that's the question, is do they think he'll rise to that? Big question, I think, for Patrick Graham and this defensive coordinator and the defensive staff.
Are you content with Calvin Austin and Connor Hayward moving on?
I mean, yeah, you know, I think both were just, you know, valiant effort guys, really hard workers. But at the end of the day, you needed more from certain positions. I think that the Steelers are just loaded up at tight end right now with Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington. They can go get another H-back type to play the third tight end role in this draft class for very cheap. They can also they're revamping this wide receiver room. They traded for Michael Pittman, who I like the move to get. And here's the thing: even though they now have DK Metcalf and Michael Pittman, I would not preclude the Steelers from drafting a wide receiver in the first round and being aggressive, or even trading up for a wide receiver in the first round. Because think of this. Think if you get a Jordan Tyson, a Mekhi Lemon in this draft class. Those guys are separators. Oh, and that's what Pittman and Metcalf aren't. Metcalf is really good at sideline routes, slants, and speed and deep balls. Pittman is really good at beating the press off the line of scrimmage, being shifty, you know, getting quick into his route, but he doesn't have the deep speed. These two guys, Lemon and Tyson, would be those separators to create on the deep ball, on the short ball, and can be that guy that grows with these two veterans. And by the time the rookie receiver would be at the end of his deal and to be due money, Metcalf and Pittman would be at the end of their current contracts with the Steelers. So if they drafted one super early, they would basically load up this wide receiver room, say, hey, we've got a young superstar that we think is going to be our stud for the next decade. We've got two veterans that are really, really good and going to kind of guide them into the NFL. It would just make sense if that was the first round pick there.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Chris, Hayward's deal led directly to Brisker, did it not? I mean, I think that freed up $5.5 million in cap space, and then they signed him for $5.5 million. I think tidy business, and now we're not going to have to hear all offseason about the whole Hayward drama.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Cam Hayward, you know, being part of the team, being good to the team. They're good to him. I said last year, like, you know, when all this was going down, Cam Hayward just wanted, you know, a million here, 2 million there. He wasn't asking for the world when he did that last year. And then, you know, the Steelers didn't give him the world. And I think, and he was fine. He played great, was fighting all year long. You didn't notice a drop off in effort. He was still chasing guys 30 yards downfield when someone forgot their assignment. It just makes sense. He doesn't look like he is aging out of the NFL right now. So I get doing this thing to move some money around. Give yourself another year to have rights to keep him around. So if he plays great again this year, you're like, well, heck, we'll just keep it going. Why not? But big move by Cam. Good to not have him, not have to worry about that situation moving forward. So certainly a good thing. And heck, I mean, I still think Cam Hayward is one of the best defensive tackles in football. So this is a win-win on both sides.
Did you go to the gala last night?
I did not. I was getting a lot of work done. So I was not able to, I had to do some other things and handle that. So I was not able to go and witness Mike and Kia Tomlin. Granted, I could have told you that Mike Tomlin was not going to speak to reporters in that instance. Just when I saw that press release, I was like, yeah, good luck. Mm-hmm. Getting
that one. Do you think Ray Fittipaldo got to eat shrimp cocktail? Did the media get fed as well as the guests? Probably not.
I hope they did. You go all that way, you get in there, you should get an opportunity. Hey, the Rings do a great job of feeding us overall. So I hope that the reporters got treated to something while they were there. But the Rooneys typically do a great job feeding us, throughout the year.
Then maybe they should sign Chris. He would fill out that NFLPA survey a little bit kinder than the players do.
Hey, the cooks got good grades.
Oh, guys rock. They are the absolute best down there. All right, Chris, a texter writes in, Carter's the best expert you bring on every week. Yes. How about that?
Yes. Very smart.
Truly honored.
Thank you. And then I try to ruin it with Book of Genesis jokes. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Chris.
Jason, are you aware of the fact that our morning show is staying in Greg Brown's condo next week?
I am. Well, here's some news for you. I'm also staying in the same complex. It's called the Shorewalk Vacation Villas. So we'll be neighbors.
Greg Brown just owns a complex, or his condo is in that complex?
His condo is in that complex, and so is my condo.
So that's where they'll be staying.
And so is Noah Hyles and Colin Beasley from the Post-Gazette. We're all in the same place.
Do you guys plan on having a huge... And Blass?
Yeah, and Blass too.
Oh, I think we know where the party's at. Bottom line.
Have you had a beer with Steve Blass since going down there?
I have, actually. Yes, I have. I had a beer and a cigar with him.
Yeah, the odds were about minus 25,000 that had happened by now.
What would the odds decrease or increase to, Pony, if it was, I had a beer and a cigar and Steve told a few stories?
Oh, boy.
Minus 100,000?
So how about this, guys? We went to this cigar bar. And there was this guy, some local, was like, and he didn't know who Blass was. And he was going on and on about old baseball people. And Steve wouldn't tell him. He didn't tell him like who he was. This guy's, I forget what he was, you know, yapping about. It was kind of obnoxious, but Steve was, of course, humble. And then he tells him who he was. And it just led to a funny exchange. So
what if the guy had said, I was never a fan?
I know. Steve probably would have had some line like, yeah, neither was I. Or something like that. But it was just funny seeing this guy realize.
As far as Pirates transactions today go, Tamar Johnson got sent back to minor league camp. Now, you've got the great success story that looks like it's going to be Connor Griffin, where he goes from the ninth pick in the draft, and now he's the number one prospect in baseball, and he's a teenager that people think is ready to play in the major leagues right now. Tamar Johnson appears to be trending in the other direction. What happened with him, Jason? He's not even a top 100 prospect anymore.
I know. I know. A little bit too much strikeout in his swing, not enough power. I mean, that's somebody they had hoped to develop a hit tool with. And I don't think, like, I don't want to frame this as though he's some sort of bust, because I don't think he is. I mean, he's 21. He's going to AAA this year. He had a 750-ish OPS at AA last year. Like, he's not necessarily behind schedule. He's just not a minor league sensation like Connor Griffin. It's been some injury, but I think it's maybe consistency, preparedness. I talked to Tamar about this actually a couple days ago. And just feeling a little bit different about this spring training than he ever has before, feeling like his feet are under him, developing a routine that he feels good about, some confidence stuff. So I don't know, man. I'm not saying he's going to become Connor Griffin. Connor Griffin's obviously a freak, but I think he's probably going to have a pretty decent year. He's at least set up to have a pretty decent year at AAA.
How do you think the organization's overall view of him has changed? Or what do you think it is now versus maybe what it was about him 18 months ago?
I don't think it's in a bad place, Chris. I do think there's some questions on where he's going to play. I mean, right now, they're very happy with what Brandon Lau has given them at second base. Nick York has had a strong camp. Nick Gonzalez is going to fit in there somewhere. And I don't know where Tamar Johnson fits. And I mean, at this point, they don't need to know. They need to have him hit more than he did at AA, at AAA. I don't think you would start him at AA. I've wrestled with that, but you know, the organization's opinion, Donnie Kelly talked about this with us a couple days ago. They're very happy with the work that he's put in, and not necessarily the results, although they've been there. It's just, you know, he's coming along nicely, but he does have some work to do at AAA this year to, you know, force his way onto the roster. Right now, there's not a clear-cut path for that.
Jason, you brought up Nick Gonzalez's name. He's playing second base for Mexico in the World Baseball Classic, or was until they were eliminated last night. Mark DeRosa needs to send some edible arrangements Francisco Cervelli's way for making sure that happened. But anyways, he's not played any shortstop for them. Is the plan really? I mean, I didn't think he had good range at second. Is the plan really for him to play shortstop if Connor Griffin starts the year at AAA?
I think so. I know people aren't going to be happy by that because they want to see Connor Griffin play there, but I think it makes more sense to play Jared Triolo at third base. I think he adds more. If you play Nick Gonzalez at third and Triolo at short, you're playing two guys out of position. So, I mean,
but Triolo plays shortstop better, and that's the more important defensive position. I'd rather prioritize that than what you just said.
Yeah, but neither are great defensive shortstops. If you're going to play a defensive shortstop and not care about their bat, it would be Aleca Williams. I mean, he's the best shortstop on their roster. He's not even on the roster, but I'm talking about like best purely playing shortstop. If that's all you're looking at. So, I mean, I think they want to try to get Nick Gonzalez bat into the lineup. Tyler Callahan is somewhat of a factor in there. He was the trade pickup they got for Kyle Nicholas. I mean, if he would nail down third base, they're still in the process of figuring that out. That might bump Jared Triolo over to shortstop. I don't know. But if Nick Gonzalez hits, they're going to have to find a place for him to play. It won't be second base. So, you're going to have to live with the defensive deficiency somewhere. If you play Nick Gonzalez at third, I don't think that's going to look great. So, I mean, one way or another, I think you have to just kind of compromise. If you're not going to have Griffin, I mean, that's obviously the big storyline here, right? And I don't have any sort of magic answer on where they stand. I don't think they're going to come to a conclusion this week. But I think you probably just live with it and hope Griffin comes up and, you know, it shows he's ready very soon.
Jason, this is a scenario that I'm sure people would be thrilled in the Pirates organization if it actually came to pass. Like, but how much would, if assuming Griffin starts the season in AAA, how much would the amount of time he's going to spend down there be influenced by how well Gonzalez, Triolo, etc. were playing? If they were playing very well, would the Pirates be more, even if he was ripping up AAA, would they just chill and let him cool his heels there for an extra week or two because they didn't feel like they needed him?
I think there's a good and bad to this, Chris. And this decision with Connor Griffin, and again, I don't know which way it's going to go, but there is a lot of like doing right by him and taking care of him and not feeling like you're putting him in a situation where, you know, it's just unfair to him. If somebody's adjusting, you're going to start him off. It's not a great. So, I mean, I'm saying that to say if Connor Griffin goes to the minor leagues and show, you know, just absolutely obliterates the ball and shows he's ready, I think they'll bring him up here. I think it's in their interest to bring him up ASAP. And if that bumps Triolo or Nick Gonzalez to a bench spot, that's okay. And I mean, Jared Triolo would add value in a bench spot. So to answer your question, I don't think those guys playing well, I don't think that would box out Connor Griffin. I don't, as long as Connor Griffin's performing.
Your former teammates at the Post-Gazette both have Connor Griffin on the opening day roster right now. Do you agree with them?
I don't. And it's not personal. I don't think that, at least as of the information I have right now, and literally, Andrew, this is something that, you know, I try to find out more about, is talked about. I think it's a very open discussion. It could change. You know, if they get together and hammer out an extension, maybe that changes. If he has a really big week, maybe that changes. I'm not saying they're basing everything they're doing on the next week. Don't read it that way. But as of right now, I think they're going to err on the side of caution and not give him too much and not put him in a negative spot. And based on what I've seen recently, that's probably the most logical direction, or what I should say the most likely, based on what their sort of desires are with Connor.
Jason, do you get the sense that anybody is feeling a little bit better about their outfield defensively speaking coming into the season? Because one of the downsides to some of the bats that they added generally to this roster were, oh boy, could be ugly defensively in the outfield, especially in a ballpark at home where you need to have some guys who can cover some ground. What is the current temperature of that situation?
I mean, they're fairly confident with it, Chris. I mean, I'd be scared if they weren't confident with it in spring training. And also with O'Neill Cruz missing, he's such a big piece to this. I will say this, but like Ryan O'Hearn has been here, Brian Reynolds has been here too. I don't have as many concerns about those two watching them every day as I think exist externally. Like, I don't think they're going to challenge for a gold glove, but I don't think they're going to embarrass themselves out there either. My concern with O'Hearn is
I'm worried about Reynolds in that regard. I didn't think he was good in right field last year, and now he's got to cover the biggest left field in baseball, Jason.
I know, but he theoretically should have a center fielder who can go get it. I don't know if the communication issues are going to be better. I sure as heck hope so. I think a lot, and where I was going with that, guys, is like I think a lot rides on O'Neill Cruz figuring it out. So far, so good, but it's been such a limited sample size.
Do you think the Kiermaier stuff really helped him? Both the idea of wanting to work with him? Okay.
I do. I think it's the total package, man. Not just Kiermaier. Like, you know, we're hearing stuff down here about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Cruz spending time with him, going like all over to try to find a left-handed batting practice pitcher, just how serious Cruz has been, Marcelo Ozuna, you know, sort of looking after him and challenging him. It's just such a different O'Neill Cruz down here. I'm not saying it's going to work out. Wow, I'm going to let it play out, but it's been impressive.
All right, last one before we let you run to have beers and cigars with Blass.
Make sure Crowley doesn't become the main character while he's down there.
I think
there,
that
by
he's
going
to pee his pants.
Is that different than normal?
On the World Baseball Classic front, and I want you to be honest with me. How do the Pirates feel about the prospect of Skeens throwing 95 pitches or thereabouts in a couple days in a huge, high pressure, high octane game if the U.S. gets to the semifinal round?
Same way I feel about coming on the radio with you, Andrew. I enjoy the experience, but I'm just making sure nothing goes awry. A little tense. No, I'm kidding.
Do you think they were secretly rooting for Italy and Mexico to just collude on like a one?
I don't think Charrington would have hated it. I'll tell you that
Jason,
much.
Jason, what percentage of their brain trust in team? What percentage of that collective, like of their individual brains, do you think was quietly going, it would not bother me if Mexico 50%? Won this game 2-1, for example?
I mean, look, they want this. They want it for the sport. They want it for Paul. Everybody recognizes that this is a good thing for the game. But yeah, is there some tenseness around Skeens? Absolutely. I don't know how there couldn't be. Like,
if they had gotten excluded,
I don't blame them one bit.
If they had gotten knocked out because that game had been a low-scoring Mexico win, I would have sent Mark DeRosa a gift basket for being so incompetent that he actually saved Paul Skeens' arm any undue wear and tear. I would have.
I know.
I would have gotten an edible arrangement for Mark DeRosa, one of the most unbelievable blunders ever.
Let me just say this. Yes, there's some tenseness, but it's a little bit easier given how serious Paul Skeens takes this. He's not an idiot about anything. His training and how regimented he is, buying into his routine. If there's somebody that can navigate this in a good way, I think it's Skeens. So that alleviates it a little bit, not a lot.
All right, Jason, enjoy Bradenton. Have fun with our guys, down there next week. See ya.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.